couple of miles down the road, those of you who may have driven up through Headingley, you may have seen that big sign that's on one of those wheeled advertising boards, which says Psychic Evening. And in Keighley, there's one being advertised like this. A recent YouGov poll says that 22% of the population read their horoscope at least once a week. There's a real interest in what's out there. Somebody speak to me. Somebody say something about my life. Somebody give me an explanation. It concerns me, to be honest. I'm not sure what's going on. Apart from the fact that you've got to pay some money, usually, to find out what somebody's got to say, it always puts up a question mark in my mind. I feel people's hopes are being raised, perhaps. Their emotions are being manipulated. Sometimes it's harmless speculation, but sometimes it's more malevolent than that. And then some people are claiming additional levels of power or knowledge, and where are they coming from? Is it a healthy place? Indeed, I think sometimes it can be very dangerous. I think sometimes these are the works of the enemy and the works of the occupants of darkness. Jesus came to overturn the works of the enemy. He came to bring light into the darkness. That's the purpose of his kingdom. So I'm really keen that we get to hear his voice, so that we become effective messengers of truth and light to the people who are desperately seeking it. Because he does release his power and his knowledge to us and through us, like we talked about last week, for the benefit of his kingdom and for good, not harm, for light, not darkness. One of the ways he does this, as we discovered, is through the distribution of the spiritual gifts. And I want to look at that a bit more, in particular at 1 Corinthians 12. Before we do that, I want to, let me pray, and then we'll move on. Lord, I ask you to come. I thank you for your presence here. It's just, we just sense the weight of your presence when we worship, when we celebrate communion. And we just thank you. I mean, it would be fine if that was all that happened today, just to know you with us like that. We worship you. And I just pray that in the next 20, 30 minutes, as we talk about these things, we will gain wisdom and understanding and hear your voice. Amen. I want you to meet two of my friends, Rod and Liz. Do you want to come and say hello? We're talking about spiritual gifts, and our experience in this room ranges from we think we know, and we use these gifts regularly, through to people who have no idea what I'm talking about, especially if you weren't here last week. So I've asked a couple of my friends who would, if you quiz them, they would say they're right at the beginning of their experience and their learning curve on this. And so I wanted them to tell us a little bit about how they came to learn about and operate in the gift of the Spirit. So as you're closest to me, let's start with Rod. Rod, tell us just, when did you come to faith? When did you decide to follow Jesus?
I believe I've had a certain belief in God from a young age, from an early age, but I never really took it any further until I was at school with a group of friends that I'm still in contact with now, three of which go to a Vineyard church. And they encouraged me to start going to church. And it was I've still got the first leaflet from the first service I went to. It was 1992, October time. So, and ever since then, I started to go to church and went to the usual Cross Rhythms Festival, Soul Survivor, and stuff like that.
Okay. And you told me that you have had what you called words and pictures and dreams.
Yeah.
But you didn't know what they were.
That I've had pictures all through my life, but not, it didn't mean anything to me. It was just pictures, and I thought nothing of it. And so it just, I didn't really think into it as much. And then it was only on a leadership weekend that we went on that I had a word, And ever since then, I've started to believe maybe these...
Describe how the person prayed for you. What did they say?
They just had a picture for what the picture was.
Yeah.
I had a person come up to me, gave me a picture of me with a beard, and it was being shaved off, and that things are going to start happening. And ever since then, yeah, it's a bit like a snowball effect.
Yes. And when you say you get pictures, which is a sort of one form of revelation, what is it?
I might get a picture of someone. I might get a picture of an event. I might get pictures of... Well, it can be any number of things, but sometimes I'm unsure whether, because I'm still like an apprentice at this, I'm not sure if it's your imagination or it's literally a picture from God. And it's pictures that I mentioned to you were that stay in my mind for days afterwards. So I pray about them. And
you said they were in colour?
Yes, in colour.
And like movies?
Yeah, like movies. So I might see a movie shot of something. And it keeps going, and then it will stay in my mind.
So now that you're beginning to, you're an apprentice, what do you do when you get something like that and you connect it with a person? What do you do with it?
I'll certainly pray about it, first of all, to ask God if this is a picture from God. And normally it's just a decision to maybe see that person or pass that message on. But certainly I speak to Lou. And we pray together because it helps me.
And what do you think you are when you're doing that? Why do you do that? What's the result? What's the point?
What's the result? I suppose it brings clarity on if that picture is for someone as such.
You described, you said to me, you think yourself as a messenger.
Yeah, as such. I feel that it's not up to me to interpret the picture. It's more for... to pass that message on. My job is just to pass it on.
Okay. And if you're an apprentice, what's next?
What's next? Well, I'm currently reading this book, Jack Deere, Surprised by the Voice of God, which is just a fantastic book. Is that as well? And it's just a really, really good book. And Lou gave it to me, said maybe you should read this. And really, it just tells you about... prophecy and how to approach people if you have pictures or dreams or words, how to approach someone, how to talk to them, and the way to word it. I'm currently on the bit the four steps, how to get the picture across without saying, I know it's very interesting, without saying this picture is from God and this is for you and this is what you have to do. It certainly says don't do that. It just says to pass on the picture, and it's up to the person who receives that picture or dream or vision to interpret it, pray about it.
What about outside the church?
I'm working on that.
Okay. Thank you, Rod. Cheers. Liz.
Hello.
You grew up in a Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
And this all happened to you at a young age, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so I was raised in a Christian family, but it was very word-based, and I wasn't taught about the Holy Spirit.
What do you mean by word-based?
We used to read the Bible every night together as a family, and my dad was very preachy, I suppose, and so it was really important to adhere to the word and everything. You know, it was almost like law. So there was no understanding of the Holy Spirit, and then with the church we were in had this sudden... move of the Holy Spirit, where one Sunday just people just fell down all around the room. And
how old were you?
I was 12 at that time, and I was excited. I thought it was great, but my mum and dad were suddenly very freaked out and felt very out of control and felt it was very not right for a church.
And so over your teen years, you exercised prophetic gifting quite a lot and were successful or positive?
It was just amazing, really. It was just like, it was almost like I couldn't stop, and just these words would just keep coming, and I'd see people and I'd see clothing on them, or I'd see words written across them, or there'd be like a videotape playing. Sometimes I would see something happening in the future, and like you'd get all this positive feedback, and then people would sort of say these big words over you and things. And but being very young, no one was actually teaching me about the role of prophecy in the church. And so I think I was developing a wrong understanding of certainly my handling of that gift.
Because you, you told me that it moved from being God's gift to you to being my gift.
And then it was only when I went off to university and became very involved in the Christian Union, and I made one big mistake, which was I just assumed everybody knew about the Holy Spirit, and it had been happening in all churches, and this was happening to everybody. And I used to say things to other Christians, and they just used to look at me as I was nuts, you know, and get quite angry with me. And sometimes they would just dismiss me, or they would say, you know, you're trying to promote yourself. I had, being a woman, God wouldn't speak to you like that. And there's just over a series of years, I got very disenchanted with it all.
And your life, you described to me as your life fell apart a bit.
Yeah.
You were a broken person, and yet...
Yeah.
So you weren't very effective in giving them out, but you were still getting them.
Yeah. When I fell away from church, because I got so confused, and church became a really painful place to be, that I decided, do you know what? I don't think I like church very much. And I like God, but I don't like Christians. And so I left church, and then I went on this 15-year wander where I still held God really close in my heart, but wasn't living a godly lifestyle, and just went off and did my own thing. And it was a really tough time. But in that time, I knew God was still speaking to me, but I used to just try and keep him somewhere comfortable so I didn't have to act.
Okay, bring us up to date. How do you feel about things now?
Coming back to it now is I kind of really, when I sort of recommitted my life, I just thought, I really need to understand what was happening to me, and I really need to understand my role in all of this. And I've just been on this journey of reading lots of books. I went on a Streams course, which is written by John Paul Jackson, just finding out as much as I could about prophecy. And suddenly it was just like huge boulders were lifted off my shoulder. I had such freedom in the gift then that I could just, you know, if God wanted to speak through me, he could. And if I didn't, or if I wasn't up for it, he was bigger than my weakness. He didn't need me. It was just my choice of whether I needed to cooperate or not. And he was happy if I did or I didn't. And I've just had this thing of, actually, do you know what? It's all cool because I can just teach others, really, through my mistakes.
Give me, in one phrase, what a good result is if you share something that you've received with somebody else. What are you after?
Just them connecting with God and Jesus and understanding who they are and how he sees them and growing from that and having a freedom.
Okay. Rod, just same question. What are you trying to make? You're not trying to make it, but what are you hoping for as a result when you share something like
That it means that the message is getting through to that person, like God's maybe trying to speak to that person. It just needs a bit of a reminder and a bit of clarity on the situation maybe they're involved in.
Great.
Maybe something like that.
Thank you. Say thanks. Okay, let's just have a quick look at 1 Corinthians 12 and get some background to all that, and then we will... And then we will see if the Lord wants to do some stuff with us. If you have a Bible, would you like to turn to 1 Corinthians 12? If you don't have a Bible, there are some on these tables that are around. Do feel free to take one home with you if you don't possess one. Corinthians is a letter written by Paul to a church in Corinth, a small church, but a very active one, around about 60 AD, about 30 or 40 years after Jesus. And they were very active in spiritual gifts, but didn't quite know what was going on. And so he wrote this letter, and in it he gives some various direction. And I just want to read one part of it. 1 Corinthians, so it's to the right-hand side of the Bible, chapter 12, reading from 1 to 11. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one who says Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them, in all men and women. Now, to each one, the manifestation, that's each one, that's everybody in this room, each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So if you look at, let's just look at these verses in a bit more detail. Let's start with verse 3. This is like a bookend at the beginning of the of this passage, and he's trying to set a context for how you decide whether this is good or bad. Okay, and it's very straightforward. It's, is Jesus praised, built up, glorified as a result of what's going on, or is he not? Does it draw attention to him, or does it take attention away from him? And that's a sort of the his opener as to whether or not you could tell this is a good thing. That's the way he sets the scene. And if you go to verses 4, 5, and 6, it's an interesting sort of Trinitarian package he puts together here. If you look at that, there's gifts but the same Spirit, different service but the same Lord, different kinds of working but the same God. If you think about this, the gifts, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. He is the gift. And with him comes this package, this array of spiritual gifts that help us. So we have these gifts, which could be abilities or activities, which when inspired by the Holy Spirit become special, become particularly effective. They can be supernatural gifts, which we don't have otherwise. So thinking about Rod, the pictures he had before he knew what they were, was that a natural gifting or was that a supernatural gifting? Was it a natural gifting waiting to be inspired? That's a debate. That's a discussion we can have later. But these are the gifts, and they all come from the Holy Spirit. They're part of who he is and part of him being a gift. Then we go to Jesus, the Lord, and it says different kinds of service. The word service is means that when somebody, if you've got the gift of administration and you help out and become an administrator, say, you're operating in the office of, the service of, administration. So he's talking about when people are frequently using a gift, become familiar with it, the Lord seems to use them through it a lot, then it becomes almost like an office, not a permanent office, not their office, but like a given role that they play. And Jesus is the first and the only person who's ever had all of them. He was prophet, he is prophet, pastor, healer, teacher. He is those. So it's not just the gift he has, he is those. And it's saying that when we become familiar with these gifts and become effective in them, the Lord can who embodies all of these gifts, he can help us become somebody who can function well in one of these gifts and become a servant, if you like. The word is diakonos, the servant, the deacon in the spiritual gift. And then the third part of that is God. There are different kinds of working, but the same God. The working word is a funny word, a diakomo, which means it's the energy source. It's putting it into operation. It's switching the lights on. It's the power source. So an example might be a singer. Have you been watching X Factor? No, of course not. You get somebody who sings, and they say, you can sing. It's a gift. It's an ability. And as they, over the weeks, work with people who are singers and professional, they become better and better at it. And eventually, Simon Cowell says, you are a singer. Not just that you can sing, but you're a singer. And they get the point, they get the power and the electricity supply and the microphone so that we can all hear them sing. So it's like the gift of singing, becoming a singer and being released and empowered to do the singing. And it's that Trinitarian sort of package that Paul sets up here very nicely. Let's move on to verse 7. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is another test. It's like bookending. You know, he did it, the thing about, is it for Jesus at the beginning? This is it for the common good? So that's for him. Is this for everyone's benefit? Do we, the word is technically used as a profit. Do we make a profit on this? Do we come out of this well or badly? Is it helping everybody? Is there a good result from this? And it's given to everybody. And then he has this list of different abilities and gifts inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some of these are, this is just a selection. We looked at a lot more, didn't we, last week? And there's dozens of them, and I think there's probably many that aren't actually mentioned in the Bible. This is just one of the lists, if you like. And I think you could probably add to that anything that can be an activity or an ability which is inspired by the Holy Spirit and becomes something that can be used for the kingdom, through to the supernatural things which aren't normally seen. How do you get into these? Well, these guys gave us an example of them. You ask, sometimes you don't ask, and he just gives you them. But you can ask, and you can pray, and then you have to obey and take risks and go for it and try and learn and read and study. So there is a sort of, it's not a passive thing, it's an active thing for you to be involved in. Some of these are for use just within the community of faith, but such as pastoring, teaching, but most of them will be used outside. We tend to get stuck in a rut doing our own thing in our little cozy huddles. Whereas this, if you look at what Jesus did, he spent most of his time using his gifting outside of the synagogue, didn't he? He did it in as well, but outside. And that's where, like Rod was saying, that's his next stage in his apprenticeship. He's learning in this setting and then to take it onto the street, into the marketplace. I made the point last week that our house groups are a great place for learning this. So week in, week out, as you go to house group and you try this, a word of knowledge here or a prophecy there, and maybe a bit of teaching and a worship leading, there are ways to learn how the gifts of the Spirit work. And you'll make mistakes, and the house group leader will coach you and help you. And then you can come on a Sunday with a larger group of people. You could take a few more risks and practice. But the end game is to go into the marketplace. The end game is to get involved in this kingdom battle that Jesus is leading us in, to turn darkness into light, to rescue people. That's the point. It's not just for us to play with. Does that make sense? So don't get stuck inside. Let's move out and use these gifts elsewhere. And then finally, verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The word gives them is very important. It's diaroun, and it's those of you who are linguists, it's a present participle. So you would translate that as he is always continuing to distribute. So this is an ongoing thing. So when Liz had her first prophecy when she was 12 or whatever, it didn't stop there, and it's like homemade bread. It doesn't, the next day, you know, with 2 or 3 days, you can't eat it. It's for now, and he is always distributing. So he is at work today, giving his gifts today to you, and tomorrow, and the next day. And it may be a different gift tomorrow. It may be a different gift the day after. You may become really effective in one gift for a while, then all of a sudden you aren't, and it's another gifting, or it's two gifts, and it's his job. And the allusion in there is he expands on in Ephesians 4, verse 8, where he talks about the emperor returning from battle victorious, and he's got all the booty from his war in behind him, and he's reaching into the dump truck that's got all the jewelry in it and the gold, and he's throwing it out to the people in the city as he comes back home. He's distributing gifts from the battle. And that's the picture Paul is using here. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to distribute gifts all the time so that you can then go and spend them and use them for the kingdom. Another picture, just very quickly, of that is the one of the joiner with the toolbox. When you're going to do some work in a house, and I don't do this very often because I don't tend to be gifted in this area. But you reach into your toolbox and you wonder which of these tools will be effective for this job. And it's a bit like that. It's God's toolbox, it's his toolkit, and he puts you in front of a situation and you reach in and you see what comes out and what he gives you. And then you do that next time and it's still there and it still happens. And over time you become more familiar and more confident and more practiced, and you use more and more of the different tools, the different gifts. There's lots and lots to be said about this. I don't want to do this now, but I'd point you in the direction of this book, which is by Jack Deere, Surprised by the Voice of God. He's written a couple. This is an excellent one. And it'll give you a thorough grounding in healthy use of the spiritual gifts. And also, I would recommend that you go on one of Eric's School of Ministry courses. There's one called The Ministry of the Kingdom, which Gary Best teaches. Eric runs them in the Vineyard Center every now and again, so watch the website. And that, again, is very equipping on how these gifts work, what the theological basis for them is, and how we operate in them. Let me just conclude. I started this last week's talk, explaining that the context for the presence of the Holy Spirit and for God speaking into our lives through the Spirit is that the idols of this world can't see or hear or speak. They can't see or hear or speak, but our God can. And he speaks because he wants relationship. He wants to know us. And he fills us with his Holy Spirit as a reconnection of a relationship with our Creator God. It's all about our relationship with him. This is not a power source. It's a person. We're dealing with the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And although God speaks to us through Jesus and the Bible and lots of other ways, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the release of his gifts is a powerful way of hearing from him and building relationship with him. And I want all of you to be filled with the Spirit. And I want all of you to be eagerly seeking the spiritual gifts and looking to go out into the marketplace and exercise them and turn back the work of the enemy and bring light into dark places. Because I want you to reconnect with your Creator and be filled with his Holy Spirit and then be effective in the ministry of the kingdom as we go about our daily lives as well as just here. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We thank you for the way you've been here already, and we ask you just now to be gracious, as you promised to do, and to release your gifts to us. Amen.